You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, You Asked For It. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Welcome to part four and the final part of our series called You Asked For It. And if you're just jumping in on this series, that's okay, because what we're doing every week of this series is taking some of the top questions that you asked. We did a survey a few months ago, and we said, tell us the things that you want us to talk about. What are the things you're curious about? What things are out there that you still have questions about? Whatever, anything at all. And the results came in, and so we're covering the top questions that you asked. We've talked about politics. We've talked about drinking and smoking and rated R movies. We've talked about sex. Today we're going to talk about something that I'm going to just kind of classify as spiritual, though the other things have spiritual implications for sure. But you had lots of questions about spiritual things, and kind of one of the ones that rose to the top in that area was the one that we're going to talk about today, and it's this: can I be a Christian and continue to struggle with the same sin? You might say, well, that's surprising. That was one of the top ones. Well, you asked for it because you voted. And that's one of the ones that came to the top. Can I be a Christian and continue to struggle with the same sin? And when that question gets asked, or that's one of the top questions, I began to ask, why is that one of the top questions? Why are people so curious to know, can I be a Christian and continue to struggle with the same sin? Now, there might be a couple answers to that. A couple of things I came up with that might be the case is one is simply this: we're struggling with sin. And we want to know, am I okay? Like, where's God with me if I continue to go back to this thing? Or you might be asking the question because I want to struggle with this sin. And I want to know, am I okay if I still do this thing that I want to do, even though it's probably something I ought not to do? Or in fact, I even know it's not. It's a sin, but I don't want to give this up. Am I okay? Those could be a couple of reasons that we ask that question. But before we dive into it, I want to level the playing field because I love doing this. And so I want to see a show of hands today. How many of you here today would say that you know somebody personally, somebody in your life that struggles with a bad habit? Show of hands. Let me see. Okay, you're not willing to admit it. Maybe you're sitting next to the person right now. All right, I see hands all over the room. Very good. Okay, how many of you would say that you personally struggle or you have a bad habit in your life? How many of you would say that? Chewing your nails or whatever. Just a bad habit, something that you wish you didn't did. Do, wish you didn't did. How many of you would say you have more than one bad habit? All right, so still a lot of the same people. Yeah, I know. So we're kind of all in this together, right? We're kind of all in the same boat because there are things in our life that we wish we didn't do that we would classify as bad habits. But I'm going to ask you one more question, and don't raise your hand on this, because this is just, you know, for you to consider. You might not want to raise your hand anyway. But I want to ask this. How many people here have something that you wish you didn't do? And I'm not talking about a bad habit here. I'm talking about something stronger than that. In fact, it's something that seems to control you. And there are times when you wish you didn't do it, but you do it anyway. How many of you have a thing like that in your life? And again, don't raise your hands. But I'm guessing the number is pretty high. I'll give you some examples. Maybe there's a toxic relationship that you keep running to. And you've said to yourself, I'm not going to go there again. I'm not going to get with that person again. I'm not going to hook up with that guy again, because every time I do, I regret it. But you find yourself going right back there to that toxic relationship that you know that you didn't want to do in the first place. Or maybe you're here and you're a guy, or it could be a lady as well, but mostly guys probably. Your struggle or your thing would be pornography. And when it's quiet at home or nobody's home or everybody's in bed, you find yourself in front of the computer looking up websites that you know you shouldn't, looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. And you've said, I don't want to go there anymore. You've told yourself, I'm going to be done with this. I'm not going to go back to that. Yet you find yourself going back and doing that again. Maybe for some of you, it is alcohol, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. And you've said, especially like the morning after a crazy party or something. I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to pick up a bottle again. I'm never going to order a drink again because I hate what I become. I hate what I feel like. I hate that feeling afterwards. And you just said, I'm going to quit that. But you find yourself going back to that. Maybe it's gossip at the workplace. And you've said, I'm not going to be a part of that. Or a negative attitude. Or you're like, I'm finished with that. I'm done with that. And you find yourself, you keep going back to that thing. And you know you shouldn't. And you don't want to. But it brings us to this question that you probably ask, and that is, am I even really a Christian? Because I keep doing this stuff. Because if I was a Christian, would I struggle with sin? Can I be a Christian and continue to struggle with the same sin? And you come to church and, you know, you kind of get a good dose, right? You have this good God experience here on the weekends. You feel like God shows up and maybe God spoke to you and you're like, okay, this time things are going to be different because I feel empowered now. I feel like I've got some resolve now. I've got maybe even more willpower now thanks to my church experience. I don't know what that looks like for you, but you come here and you're like, okay, it's going to be different now. This time's going to be different. And then you leave here and you feel good and you're feeling like, this is it. I'm good to go. This time's going to be different. You're more determined. And then what happens? Monday happens. And for some reason, you find yourself having those same thought patterns, going back to those same places, doing those same things that you said you were never going to do. Maybe it's Tuesday for some of you, but at some point during the week, you find yourself back in those old habits and those old routines. And you said, you know I said I was going to change this time, but it's so hard. And you beat yourself up. Because you don't want to do it anymore. Maybe you've even confessed to some people and said, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore. You've told them what it is. You said, I'm going to be done with it and you can hold me accountable. And now you feel like such a hypocrite because you're not able to do it. And you don't even tell them anymore because you just feel like a big phony if you did. Because you've already been down that road with them a dozen times. And you feel like, man, I really want to change, but it's just so hard. And I don't know what that is. And maybe you're to the point where you're just like, even if you're here today and you're going, I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of living that way. I hate that I keep going back to that, but I just do. Or maybe even worse, you're past being sick about it and you've just kind of settled in and accepted it. Well, this is just what I've got to deal with. This is just my life. Maybe that's you today. And if that's you, or you've ever felt that way, or you feel that way right now, there's good news for you. And here it is. You don't have to live that way. So I want to introduce you to a guy named Paul. Now, if you've been around New Point, you've heard us talk about Paul a lot. Paul's a guy we gain a lot of wisdom from. Really, Paul's a guy I gain a lot of practical wisdom for living life from. Because here's what I love about Paul. Paul was opposed to Christ. Then he had a dramatic conversion. He met Jesus Christ. It changed his life radically. And then he writes letters. In fact, more than half the New Testament are letters of Paul where he wrote to Christians, the early church, young Christians, saying, let me help you with the things that you're struggling with. I'm going to give you some theology, but then I'm going to give you some practical ways to live that out. And I find it extremely helpful. And so Paul writes, and one of the things that he writes about, and if you kind of summarize some of the things he says stuff like this. The Christian life isn't simply about doing the best you can, knowing that you're disappointing God every day on an hour-by-hour basis, and then trying to get all your sins forgiven, or coming back to church and having an experience with God and confessing everything once again, and I'm sorry, God, and then I go back and do it again, and I end up back in church, and I have to confess the same things again because I did it again. He said, that's not what living the Christian life is all about. Or just trying to get to heaven when you die, or just enough to get by, or like, okay, I'm saved, that's great, I'm going to heaven, but this is the way I am, I guess I'm stuck doing this. Paul's like, that's not what the Christian life is about. There's way more to it than that. In fact, if I was going to really summarize how the Apostle Paul taught in all of his letters, I might do it like this. Check this out. Sin doesn't control where you go when you die. And sin doesn't have to control what you do while you live. It's a big theme of Paul's, and it's huge. And so Paul, in his letters, basically explains the fact that you can actually live free from the power of sin in your life. It's possible. Not only is it possible Jesus makes it so that you will. So I want to help you with that today. So here's what Paul would say. You're not the person you used to be. If you've come to Christ, if you've made a decision to follow Christ, to make him the leader of your life and the forgiver of your sins, if you've accepted Christ, surrendered to his will, said, God, I'm going your way, not my way, and you've surrendered to him, then you're not the person that you used to be. So then why would you live like you used to live? When you placed your faith in Christ, here's what happened. Or if you haven't yet, here's what will happen. You become a brand new person. Scripture tells us that the old is gone and the new is come. You are a new creation in Christ. You are brand new in him. You're not the person you used to be. So why would you continue to live the way you used to live? So let's look at what Paul has to say about this. This is very interesting because what I'm about to read to you is Paul's own description of him wrestling with this stuff that we're talking about today. The way he's experienced this problem that we might, you know, that we experience, and then his solution to it, his explanation of it, and his solution for it. Now, if you're here today and you're not a Christ follower, or you're just checking out church, or you're kind of new to faith, or just exploring this kind of thing, just checking things out, then you may not even agree with what I'm about to share, but I think you can agree with all of us on one thing, and that is we can all relate to Paul's struggle with sin. Or you may say it like this, my struggle with temptation. So, Paul wrote down for us his struggle with temptation. When, by the way, he was a very religious person, but he just didn't quite get this yet before he understood what he's about to explain about our wrestling with sin and temptation. So here's what he has to say. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. This is amazing. He says, I do not understand what I do. Anybody with him so far? For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Can I get a witness? Is there anybody here going, thank you, Paul. That's the story of my life. I can't do it. I want to do it. I have good intentions. Or I want to stop doing it, but I can't. Right? That's what he's saying. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Anybody ever been on a diet? Hello? You say, yeah, that's the story of my life. You know, by the way, Paul, the guy that wrote this, one of the godliest men that ever lived. I mean, if there was a Christian Hall of Fame, he'd be like right at the head of the class, right? He goes on to say this, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. This I keep on doing. Now, when you raised your hand earlier and said that you have a bad habit or more than one, more to the point, let me say this. When I asked you if there's something in your life that seems to control you, you say, that's what I'm talking about. That's me. That's the story of my life right there. What Paul is just saying, that describes me. And it's so crazy, isn't it? Why don't we just stop doing the stuff we know that we ought not to do? Why don't we just stop? Paul's about to give us the answer for that. Here's what he says in Romans 7:20. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is, what's the three-letter word right there? Say it out loud with me. Sin. It is sin living in me that does it. He's saying there's an explanation as to why you do what you do, and there's a solution to the problem. And here's what he says. Here's the problem. Check this out. Here's what Paul's explaining here. There really was an Adam. We know Adam as the first man. Book of Genesis, first book of the Bible, right? First chapter, God creates man. His name is Adam. There really was an Adam. Adam really did sin. He disobeyed God. And when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. In fact, he became a sinner. And as a result, everybody born of Adam, or everybody who's ever lived since Adam, by nature, is a sinner. We are born with a sin nature. Thank you very much, Adam. Right? We're born with a sin nature. We are literally born sinners because there really is an Adam, the whole human race. When Adam sinned, we all sinned. So we're born sinners. We're not born good people who occasionally do bad things. In fact, we're born bad people who occasionally do good things. And when you think about it, that makes perfect sense, because you can see why a bad person would occasionally do a good thing, because it might benefit me in some way. If I'll do this good deed, there might be something in it for me. But why would a fundamentally good person ever do a bad thing? And Paul's saying, yeah, that's what I'm saying. There are no fundamentally good people. We're born sinners. We're born with a sin nature. When Adam sinned, he brought sin into the world. He actually brought it into us. Now, you might not agree with this. I'm just telling you what the Apostle Paul has written, all right? And Paul talks about, this is very, very interesting to me. Paul talks about sin as if it's a thing. We don't sometimes. We'll say, well, I have an issue, or I have a struggle. We don't even like to call it what it is. When you know it's sin, and Paul's saying, he's talking about it like it's a thing. You know why? Because it's a thing. And Adam brought sin into the world. When he sinned, we all sinned, and we're all born sinners, and sin is in us. So when he talks about temptation, I know what I ought to do, and I don't do it. I know what, you know, I know the things I should do, and I just can't do it. When he says things like that, he says what we're wrestling with isn't simply temptation. What you're wrestling with actually is sin. It's an entity. It is S-I-N. And then he goes on to say this, which is the good news in all this, that when you became a Christian, or if you're not yet, when you become a Christian, when you make that decision to follow Christ, you are taken out of Adam and you're placed into Christ. This is awesome, because just like everything that was true about Adam was true about you, once you're in Christ, everything that's true about Christ instantaneously becomes true about you. That's an amazing thought right there. Just as what's true about Adam was true about you, what's true about Christ becomes true of you. This is why you're forgiven. This is why you're acceptable to God. This is why you can live free from sin. Because when Christ died, he died to the power of sin. And once you were placed into Christ, what's true of him becomes true of you. I like to compare this to international adoption. Now, some of you may know that Jenny and I, my wife Jenny, we adopted our youngest child, Andrew. He was 7 months old, and he was in Guatemala in an orphanage. And we went to Guatemala to adopt Andrew. And so we get there, and we meet him for the first time. It was amazing, as you might imagine. We bring him back to the United States. Something very interesting happened right then. When we adopted him, he instantly became part of our family. He instantly became a bun. He instantly became an American. What used to be true of him, an orphan in Guatemala, was no longer true of him. In fact, that orphanage and that country no longer had rights to him. They no longer had anything to do with him, because of a legal transaction that took place. And in the same way, Paul says, when you were taken out of Adam and you were when you were placed into Christ, what's true of Christ is now true of you. You're now in his family. That old part no longer has rights to you. So consequently, let me put this on the screen for you. Sin is not my master. I am dead to sin, but I am alive to God. See, it's not just a matter of temptation. It's not just a matter of addiction. It's not just a matter of a bad habit. Paul says there's a real thing called sin, and the reason you can't do what you know you ought to do is because you have lived as a slave to sin. But if you've been taken out of Adam and placed into Christ, then sin is actually, literally, whether you've experienced it or not, it is no longer your master. Because what's true of Christ is true of you now. And so the question now is, so what and now what? And so now Paul in Romans chapter 6 begins to tell us what to do with this crazy theology he's given us and this new way of thinking. And I want to give you things that are going to help you understand this text. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. He says, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again." Check it out. "Death no longer has mastery over him." In other words, Jesus conquered sin and he conquered death. Let's keep reading. "The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God." Remember, what's true of Christ is now true of you. When Christ died, he simply didn't die to life. Jesus died, check it out, to the power of sin. The power of sin was broken when he came back to life. Sin no longer had any hold, no authority at all. Jesus was completely free from any of the chains of sin. He lived a perfect life, and then he broke the final power of sin. He broke death forever. Because remember, what always follows sin is death. Sin always leads to death. They go hand in hand. Then Paul says, in that light, here's what you got to do with that. He continues in Romans 6:11. He says, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ." In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul's telling us, that as you move ahead, as you begin to embrace this teaching, the first thing you have to do is believe this, accept this. Make a declaration, and this is number one in your notes. I want you to write this down because this is what we need to do. Number one, make a declaration, and here's your declaration. Sin is not your master. Sin is not my master. You know why? Because God says sin is not your master. And in Christ, the power of sin has been broken. And regardless of how you live and regardless of whether or not you've experienced this, the first step in applying this powerful truth is to believe this, and you make a declaration. In fact, repeat after me. Sin is not my master. Say it. Say it again. Sin is not my master. Now whisper it with me. Sin is not my master. You say, why are you whispering it? Sometimes you just need to whisper it. Sin is not my master. When that thing comes at you that tempts you, that anger, that lust, that greed, that tendency to gossip, that jealousy, whatever, before you act on it, why not whisper, sin is not my master? Paul continues in verse 12. He says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires." He says, don't let sin have control over you. When you let sin reign in your body, you say yes to sin. And you're letting sin in. And here's the thing. Sin does not reign over you. Sin only reigns if you allow it to. So here's a question I want to put up here for us. When you wrestle with sin or temptation, which side of the argument do you identify with? And I'm going to explain this in just a moment. But sometimes the reason, like I said earlier, we ask the question is, you know, can I be a Christian and continue to struggle with the same sin? Is because we want to struggle with the same sin. We've chosen to struggle with the same sin. And we want to know, am I okay with God? I want to be able to do just whatever I want to do throughout the week. But when I come to New Point on the weekends, I want to be able to raise my hands. I want to be able to celebrate. I want to be able to do this. But throughout the week, I want to be able to do whatever I want to do with my hands. I want my hands to go here and there. And I want to know, is this okay? And then if it's okay, then I can come back on the weekends and go, yes, I'll do this with my hands. I'll do this with my hands on church. But everywhere but church, I'm going to do whatever I want with my hands. See, that's what we want to know sometimes, right? But here's the question that we need to ask today. Do I want to continually struggle with the same sin, or do I want to be set free from it? You know that debate you have when you're trying to decide whether you should do that thing that you know you shouldn't do. Here's what I mean by that first question. If you argue from the standpoint of Adam, it sounds like this. Well, nobody's perfect. Hey, I'm no saint, right? I've always been susceptible to this. You know, my mom was this way. I'm just going to be this way. My dad was this way. I've just always had this issue. That's just the way that I am. I just can't help it. Hey, everybody struggles with this. This is just natural, right? This is just normal. This is what people do. When you argue from that standpoint, you're basically arguing from the standpoint of sin. And here's what you need to know. That's who you used to be. And you're going to lose that argument every time. because you've identified with someone that you're not anymore. Somehow, the goodness and the righteousness of God stands apart from you, and you've identified, you have sided with sin when you argue from that perspective. It becomes a whole different kind of struggle when you struggle from the standpoint of identifying with who you are in Jesus Christ. You've been placed in Christ, remember? If you're arguing from the standpoint of who you are in Christ, it sounds more like this. It sounds more like this. That I know that sin that's trying to rule me. That sin that's trying to conquer me. That sin that has no power over me. That sin that's trying to ruin and rule my life. And I know that in the shadow of sin comes death. And I've had enough death in my life. Relationships, finances, and so on. Why would someone who is free from sin continue to walk in it? Why would I embrace something that's going to hurt me? Hurt other people around me. Hurt the people that I love. I have been set free from sin. I am in Christ. And the death he died once and for all, I am a part of that. And I am in Christ. And besides, the only way that sin can get to me is to come through Jesus Christ. And he lived a sinless, perfect life. And he died to sin. And so I have died to sin. Here's my point. When you struggle, and you do, when I struggle, and I do, we all do, when we struggle with that thing, here's that thing again, oh man, here it comes. When you struggle with that thing in that moment, you choose, whether you recognize it or not, which side of the equation you identify with. And the side you choose has everything to do with the outcome. As long as you identify with Adam, I'm a sinner, I can't help it, this is the way I am, nobody's perfect. As long as you identify with who you used to be, you will always behave the way you used to behave. So that's why Paul says, therefore do not. Therefore do not. Because you have a choice. You can say no. You can say no to sin, and here's why, because the power of sin has been broken. You're in a new family. Sin can knock on the door. Sin can ring the doorbell. Sin can try and face you on, or friend you on Facebook. Sin can try and Instagram you. Sin can be everywhere. But you have the power to say, I'm not going to let you rule and I'm not going to let you influence my life anymore. Second thing we have to do is this. Number two, make a decision. Not to let sin rule you. You make a decision. We make a declaration, sin is not my master. Therefore, I make a decision not to let sin rule over me anymore. I have had enough death come to my life. Here's what Paul continues. He writes this in Romans chapter 6. Do not offer any part of yourself. By the way, Paul is talking about actual body parts here. Members of your body, right? Do not offer any part of yourself. He's talking about your hands and your feet and your eyes and your brain and your mouth and your tongue. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. See, we do this all the time. That's why he writes about this. We do this all the time. You can be at the mall, and you're like, oh, here she comes. And sin's going, hey, can I borrow your eyes for a second? Yes, sin. You can borrow my eyes. There she is. Or maybe you're at the office, and there's this guy over here. You're married, he's married, but there's this connection, and it's just so easy to talk to that person. And sin says, hey, can I borrow your feet for a little bit? Because I want to take your body over there. And let's go over here. And let's have a conversation. And you know it's going places where it's not appropriate to go. But you say, sure, sin. You can borrow my feet for a little bit. Or sin says, hey, can I have your mouth for a little bit? Because I know there's some things you've been wanting to say to your teenager. And you just need to let it rip. In fact, you already know what you want to say. You wrote it down, and you're just going to let them know where they stand. Or sin says, I want to borrow your mouth for your husband. When he gets home, when you hear that garage door go up, and you know what he's going to be bringing in here, you just need to let him know how you feel. I want to borrow your mouth for a little bit. Because why not? I'm going to bring more death to your marriage. No. You make a decision not to let sin rule you. That's saying no to sin. It's saying, no, sin, you cannot have my eyes. for that thing that you know tempts me and taunts me. You cannot have my hands to do that thing. You cannot have my feet to walk over there and participate. I am making a declaration that sin is not my master. And I'm making a decision not to let sin rule over me anymore. I'm not going to let you bring more death to my life. Paul continues in verse 13. He says, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death into life. Why? Because you have. When you were in Adam, you really almost had no choice, right? To offer your members of your body to sin, because that's who you were, right? Sin was in you. You were born into sin. But now that you've been placed into Christ, you have a choice. It doesn't matter about your family. It doesn't matter how checkered your past is. Everybody's telling you, you have no choice in the matter. You're just like your mom. You're just like your dad. This is who you are. And God is telling you right now, no, you have the opportunity to actually live and surrender the parts of your body to your heavenly Father. Paul continues, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. And so that brings us to the third thing, and that's this. You make a dedication. You give your body and your will to God. You dedicate it to him. You know, some people start their day with a biblical dedication to get in tune, to kind of like get in step with God for the day. What would happen if you did that? What would happen if you started your day like that? If we were all willing to begin our day by making a dedication of our bodies and our minds and our wills to our Heavenly Father. To make dedication a reality in our lives. You say something like this, God, I'm going to give you my hands today because I know that sin is going to want to use my hands. God, I'm going to give you my eyes because I know that sometime today, sin is going to want my eyes. God, I'm going to give you my feet because at some point, sin is going to want to take me somewhere. And when I hear sin whisper, I have to remember that I've already dedicated my feet to you and my arms and my mind. And God, I want to triple devote my mouth to you because sin wants my mouth all the time. And I can be good with my mouth, but I can destroy people with my mouth. I want to devote my mouth so that when sin says, just say it. Just say it. Come on, say it. It'll be so funny. You'll make them feel so bad and they need to feel bad because they made you feel bad. Just say it. Just say, they need to encounter a little pain today. Just say it. You can say, no, sin is not my master. Sin is not my master. Sin is not my master. I don't have to let you control me. Besides, I've already dedicated my mouth to God who brought me out of death and into life. You know, now here's the thing. You don't have to do this in the morning. I know there's other more important things to do in the morning, like check your Facebook or watch the morning news. I know there's other things to do in the morning. So you don't have to do this. But Paul asked us, do you want to let sin decide your outcomes? Or do you want to make a declaration and a decision and a dedication to break the stronghold that sin has in your life? So as we wrap up, I'm going to look at something else that Paul says that he wrote in Colossians chapter 3. Here's what he says. Set your minds on things above, not on the things of earth. That phrase in and of itself, you might not find a whole lot helpful. You might be like, yeah, there's another checklist or there's things like that we're supposed to do. You know what I mean? But I don't know how practical that is for me. I don't even know. I don't even know if I can do it. Sounds like another to-do list. But Paul doesn't stop there. Here's what he says. For you have died. What? Now, I can understand the first part. I can't do it, right? Set your minds. I can't do that. But I can understand it, I think. But he says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then there's this next little phrase I'm going to add to this. If you keep reading, it says, when Christ, who is your life. See, here's the thing. You can't live the Christian life. Only one person can live the Christian life, and that would be Christ. So as long as you try hard or you strive, you try and be everything the Bible says you should be. You try and be held accountable. And you don't do this. And you do that. You don't have a bad attitude. And you try and be generous. And all this stuff. As long as we're trying to imitate Christ, of course we're going to fail. But your brand new life in Christ is something that you have to allow to happen through you. I need to learn how to allow this to happen through me. Life has been given to me now that I am in Christ Jesus. I need to learn to let Him radiate through me. I need to learn how to let Christ live His life through me. This should be a game changer for all of us. Now, when what I'm talking about gets from here to here, a new thing will happen. You'll literally not be the same person you used to be. So, of course, you can't keep living the way you used to live. And it's not a matter of trying harder. It's not a matter of willpower. Because our old, dead life is never going to be able to live up to the standard of the Christian life, of the Jesus life, of the life of Christ. Your brand new life that you have in Christ is now something that you have to learn to allow to happen through you. You wake up every morning and you say, God, of course I can't, but you can. God, for me, it's impossible, but through you, all things are possible. Thank you very much. God, I fail on my own, but you never fail. And I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to walk in it, and I'm going to live in it. And every time I'm tempted, I'm going to realize that sin is not my master. So I don't have to let sin reign over my mortal body. I have the freedom to devote every member of my body to my new master, who's promised to live His life through my mouth, through my hands, through my feet, through my ears, through my brain, through my heart. It's a completely different way of viewing the Christian life. So here's what I suggest, that you start every day by making a declaration. Sin is not my master. I'm going to make a decision that I'm not going to let sin rule over me. And today, Lord God, I make a dedication of every part of my body to you. And I'm asking you, I'm inviting you to come live your life through me because I cannot do this. So can a Christian still be a Christian if he continues to struggle with the same sin? Wrong question. Because you don't have to. Change your perspective. Because you are a Christian, because you are in Christ, sin no longer has power over you. Will you bow your heads with me? Just bow your heads and close your eyes. There are some of you here today that God's Holy Spirit has just shown up at your seat. Maybe there are even tears coming down your face because you know. You're like, you know, I struggle and I struggle and I try and I try. And what God's telling you today is you don't need to try anymore. You need to walk in the freedom that I've already given you. You make a decision. You dedicate yourself. I'm with you. I've given you new life. You are now free. It's who you are because you're part of my family. I want to pray for you right now. And as I do, you just pray along with me. That's the desire of your heart, to be free from sin. Heavenly Father, I pray for my friends all over this room. Many of us struggle with a sin issue. We'll just say it. We struggle with sin. And we keep going back to the same thing and we're so tired of it or we've become comfortable with it. But God, we don't want that. We know you don't want that. We know you have better for us. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us walk in that. I pray that what we talked about today would become so real to us. That the idea of Christ living His life through us is a reality. And it's not just pie in the sky. It's not just a nice idea. But because of the fact that we're in Christ, we're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And we can walk in that and we can live in that. Help us to remember that sin is not my master. Sin does not control me. And I have the power through Christ to say no. God, thank you for loving us enough to remind us of that, to teach us that, to correct us in that way. I pray that we get this right for our sake, for your kingdom's sake, for our family's sake. Thank you. We love you. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.